Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Well, here it is, the 8th of March. Since the new year, we've had about 10 weeks or so to practice those New Year's resolutions that we made. How are you doing with yours? Are you beginning to establish new behavioral patterns? Are you successful in establishing new activities? Or have those New Year's resolutions faded not only to the back burner, but clear off the stove? I think in order for us to be successful in those things that we promise ourselves that we will do, we need every once in a while to look at our activity and see if we're still on track. So that's a kindly reminder to you and to me regarding the things that 10 weeks ago we thought were important enough to make a resolve to do them. I want to spend some time today speaking about the word gospel. What is it? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel, by definition, is good news. Many there are who will fill a pulpit today in a church that say they proclaim the gospel. But I wonder how many proclaim the good news the way that Jesus Christ revealed the good news. I think there's a definite difference between the message sometimes and what the messenger intended it to be. This good news, this gospel, in the original language that the New Testament was written in, did not confine itself to just those things of a theological nature. For instance, that original Greek word could be used to describe a political platform. To those that believed in that platform, it would be good news. It could be used to describe some windfall that came their way. It's just good news. But the lesson today is not just about good news. The lesson today is, what is the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ? That confines it to those things of a religious nature. First, this good news of Jesus Christ is certainly something that God wants preached. He wants it preached to every creature on the face of the earth. And because God wants this good news taught, we're assured that there's something worthwhile within it. God doesn't waste his time or our time with things that are unimportant. When we ascertain that God wants something done, we can necessarily imply that something is important. After Jesus had taught his disciples for about 3 years, they had done many wonderful things to demonstrate his authority. He died on the cross. Then, as I'm sure you're aware, he was buried. And after the burial, he was in the tomb. And on the third day, he arose from the grave. We sing a song, "Hallelujah, Christ arose." He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Indeed, perhaps the most significant event in the history of man, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And before Jesus Christ ascended to his rightful place at the right hand of God, he said something that's primary to our lesson today. That is recorded in Mark the 16th chapter in verse 15. There Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's the marching orders. That charge is so primary, it's so important, it's so basic to Christianity that Jesus was unwilling to let the disciples go unaccompanied. He said, as recorded in Luke 24 and verse 49, "Tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high." Jesus said, before you go and you present this good news, I want you to wait until you get the Holy Spirit to go with you. Jesus knew, perhaps better than anyone ever has, that presenting the gospel that he brought is no child's play. It's not something frivolous that we are taking the responsibility of doing. The eternal destiny of the world is suspended on the acceptance or the rejection of the good news that Jesus once proclaimed. It's not the ephemeral issues of life, but it is basic to man's eternal destiny. He said to the men, "I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the proper time. Wait until the human frailties are provided for by the perfect help of the Holy Spirit, the perfect helper. Then, starting with Jerusalem, I want you to go throughout Judea. Then I want you to go to Samaria and finally to the uttermost parts of the earth with this good news." It was some years later that the Apostle Paul was converted and became an apostle. He was Saul at that time, and name changed after his conversion. And this man said, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Every man that rises in the pulpit today, March 8, 2012, every person that rises to preach today should feel the responsibility that Paul speaks about. There are some that today will preach about things that are purely social. There are some that will rise in the midst of great throngs of people and talk about things today from the pulpit that are purely secular or governmental in nature. But I've got to tell you, that's not my business. Because the Bible says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." That's my direction. I might be able to entertain you and say those kinds of entertaining words of a secular nature that might put more people into the building than what we'll have in attendance today, even though at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, the building is pretty well full on Sunday mornings. But we might even need a bigger place if we were to confine ourselves to talking about the political candidates or the economy. Or if we were to get up and go through some vaudeville act of entertainment, or we were to present some jazz band or something, we might be able to put more people, but that's not our business. Our business is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, to appeal to humanity through the thought process that will directly affect the destiny of their soul. That's the business of one who preaches the gospel. There's more to the gospel of Christ than just something that God once taught. there's another side to that. It's something that God wants man to obey. So not only is God concerned about the presentation, he's concerned about the reception of the gospel. The gospel comes with attractive promises, promises that have been validated by many wonders and signs when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth. It comes with solemn and sacred warnings. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, there's a message that I want you to listen to. It's inspired of God. There the Bible says, "And to you who are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus." So then, this good news that God wants presented, if it is rejected, if it is heard but not obeyed, it turns into that which is threatening rather than that which is promising. What a powerful message that is. Who becomes the subject of God's wrath as it relates to the gospel? Who becomes the recipient of the vengeance of God when it relates to the gospel? Well, it's the man that does not obey. It's the man who sits idly by and hears the message but does not respond. It's the man who may be a splendid hearer and may give mental consent to the correctness of the message, but does not respond. It's the man that does not move in obedience to the good news that will be the recipient of the anger of the Lord. Well, a third thing. The gospel of Christ is more than something that God wants taught and something that God wants man to obey. It's the avenue. It is the way of salvation. Did you notice I used the singular, the way? There are not many ways to salvation. There's one way that leads to salvation. Paul said and wrote under the direction of the Holy Spirit the words of God in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, he wrote, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have also received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved." I want to stop before continuing that reading and just note the message here. Paul equates the standing in the gospel to that which saves us, doesn't he? He said, by which ye were also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, if Paul was accurate, when he says we are saved by the gospel, that would be the positive, and the negative of that thought would be if we don't respect, if we don't receive, if we don't act on the gospel, we are not saved. That without the gospel, there can be no salvation. Salvation is based on obedience to the gospel, the good news. We can do many things, you and I, to help our fellow men. In fact, we should. Galatians 6 and verse 10 tells us that we should help as we have opportunity our fellow man. We might be able to provide for those who need clothing. We might be able to feed those that are hungry. We might be well able to provide a place for someone to live that is homeless. We might be able in troubled times to provide comfort. We might be able to give leadership to those that are following an agenda that is worthwhile. But that's not our business. Our business is to teach the good news of Jesus Christ here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Unless I give the gospel, unless those who publicly teach here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ give the gospel of Christ, then those who come to be taught cannot be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary for salvation. Doesn't matter what a person's social standing is. It doesn't matter what political persuasion that you are. It doesn't matter how many things that you've amassed in your life. It doesn't matter what your business position is. If you're whether you're an executive vice president or don't have a title, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you live in a palace on Camelback Mountain or in a shack. If you don't hear and believe and obey the gospel, you'll never enter through the pearly gate and walk on the streets of gold. As Paul declared to the 400,000 people of Corinth, I declare to you now, I don't believe there are 400,000 people listening to this radio show, but there's somebody. And here's the declaration that I make without fear of any contradiction at this moment. Brethren, I preach unto you the gospel wherein you stand and by which you are saved. Unquote. And when I receive the gospel, the good news, and I do those things that the gospel teaches me to do, then my sins are blotted out. And after my sins are blotted out, then I live according to the precepts and the teachings of the Bible, and I must be faithful to them until death. If I keep my garments spotless spiritually, and I do that by continually repenting of the wrongs that I've done through prayer, then I'll be saved. You might well say that a Christian's washing machine is the avenue of prayer. It allows us to get rid of the stains, the dirty stains that we have because of sin. We read in the book of Romans that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. I sin, you sin. That's not that we do it on purpose. That's that we are imperfect as human beings. And the avenue for forgiveness of those sins and a reconnection to God, the connection that's broken according to Isaiah 59 and verse 2 because of sin, the reconnection of God is the reception of the gospel, the teaching of Jesus Christ, which is good news. This gospel of Christ we're examining consists of three basic elements. It consists of facts. Here's the facts of the good news of Jesus. Jesus died. Matthew 27 and verse 50. That's a fact. Jesus was buried. Matthew 27 and verse 60. It's a fact. And Jesus was raised from the grave. Matthew 28 verse 6. It is a fact. Another element of this good news is the commandments that it contains. We are commanded to have faith in Christ, Acts 16, verse 31. We are commanded to repent of our sins, Acts 17 and verse 30. And, I'm sorry, Luke 17 and verse 30, and Luke 13 and verse 3. We are commanded to confess or acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Romans 10 and verse 9. We are commanded to be baptized. Matthew or Mark 16 and verse 16, and Acts 2 and verse 38. The third basic element of this good news, remember, the first was the facts of the gospel. The second were the commandments of the gospel. The third basic element of the gospel are the promises that we find therein. Forgiveness is a promise found in the gospel, Acts 2 and verse 38. Heaven is a promise of the gospel. John, the 14th chapter, gives us that promise. Hell is a promise of the Bible. Matthew 7 verse 21. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. For those that disregard the teaching of the Lord. Promises, part of the gospel. Those ingredients of the gospel fit perfectly with the nature of man. That's not a surprise, is it? Because man was created by the one who brought forth the message that we call the gospel. The ingredients of the gospel fit perfectly to the intellect of man. That's the receptacle for the facts of the gospel. The facts appeal to the power to think. The commandments appeal to the ability of man to reason, to bring about the process of submitting oneself to the faith and repentance and confession and baptism commands. The promises in the Bible fit perfectly to man's power to believe, fits perfectly to the emotional side of man. Forgiveness of sins, being in eternity in heaven and hell, all of those concepts appeal to the emotional nature of man. Well, there's a conclusion to this lesson. The conclusion I've brought down to maybe three questions. Are there those that believe the facts of the gospel listening to the show today? I believe there are. Second question, are you willing to render obedience based on that belief that you have of the good news? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to confess or acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins and live obediently for the rest of your life upon this earth? Are you willing to do that? I believe that there are many who are willing to do that. But in comparison to those that are unwilling, the many become the few. God talks about the narrow road that leads to life and the broad road that leads to destruction. You'll find that in the book of Matthew. Do you want to enjoy the promise? The promise that is talked about in this good news of Jesus Christ? I'm convinced that there are many that want to enjoy the promise of heaven. I'm convinced that there are many who want to avoid the terribleness of hell. I'm convinced that there are many that want to be forgiven and live the abundant life of John, the 10th chapter and verse 10. And the answer to that, the door to that, is in the gospel, the good news brought by God. Interesting, huh? You don't have to be of great intelligence to understand the simple message of Jesus Christ. You have to be of great strength to live that message. But God promises never to put before us things that we can't handle. And He promises to give us strength if we will go to Him and ask. He promises to be by our side as we face those things that we simply cannot endure by ourselves. Give your life to the Lord. Give your heart to God. Worship God well today. If you want to come and worship with the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we would welcome you. We would welcome an opportunity to open the Bible and to study God's Word with you. Life is fragile. We see that proven so many times. Be right with God when you give up your breath, when you cross the great divide to stand before the Lord in judgment. Be right with the judge. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.